Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forged 20 podcast. I am your Forge Master, Zach Coldiron. Before we go ahead and get started with this episode, I would like to go ahead and thank one of our sponsors and good friends of ours, Dizzy Punch D&D. If you guys are a big fan of our campaigns, you'll definitely be a big fan of what they got going on over at Dizzy Punch D&D. Their current campaign, Arcubus, is awesome, and they're doing a really cool kind of like martial arts style film-inspired arc right now for their campaign. And, dude, I love those kind of movies and stuff like that. So if you're interested in checking stuff like that out, go ahead and give them a listen. You can listen to them on Spotify. So if you would love to go ahead and give them a follow on their Instagram and their YouTube, you can follow them at Dizzy Punch Animations. Now, without further ado, let's get into this episode of the Forge D20 Podcast. Last time on Tales of Lodrienth, Corus, Moros, and Lloyd had disembarked from the city of Brightstone. When they left with two crates full of Arcanium and members of the Web, led by Graham. As they sailed for a couple days, they were followed by a blue celestial serpent who's been following them. After fighting some merfolk, in a couple more days after that, they encountered something dastardly. One of the most evil entities in the entire realm of Nekathis, Malik the Redwater, made his appearance, seemingly coming after Corus. A rain of blood and ichor began to spread throughout the sea, as they are so close to the Isles of Eflar Eden. And last we left off, their ship was destroyed. And this is what happens next. As you all are pushed back hundreds of feet from the wreckage of the ship, and the Arcanium cargo begins to sink underwater, you all can see the silhouette of a colossal-sized shark. Emerging from its back are these giant sword-like spires, and navigating the skies nearby, you see the cerulean-covered serpent who's been following you for a couple days. It's now headed in your direction, and you all feel a tingle in the back of your brain. It seems like something is trying to communicate to you. Without words, but emotion only, you feel the instinct to run. Suddenly, water begins to pressurize about 30 feet from you, as if something has ejected liquid at a high speed of its body. You can see a big burst of red liquid emerging from the air, and you can now feel rain droplets from this pressurized water touch your flesh, and as you see it, you might be covered in ocean water right now, but you look and you see this thick, viscous fluid. It's blood. And now you see that the waves begin to suddenly pick up. The seas are difficult terrain to navigate through. So if you have a movement speed of 30 feet and you don't have a swimming speed, you can move 10 feet per round. You can see about 150 so feet in front of you. There are two life rafts that can fit up approximately five medium humanoid creatures on top of it. And you can see that the cerulean serpent is now quickly descending towards the water, towards the silhouette of the giant shark. And you can see that it's opening its mouth, and it appears some sort of magic beam is about to emerge from its mouth. These two giant monsters are about to lock into combat, and this is an opportune time to escape for you guys. I would like everybody to roll me initiative, please.
Oh, we die.
Shit.
What direction is land, by the way?
Well, you would know you guys were traveling towards the east. You guys were traveling towards like the northeast, so you'd know you'd have to go northeast if you want to reach the Isles of Eflar Eden.
Cool.
Let me add to combat tracker, and then I have to add Malik manually. Let me roll D20 for Malik. Big kaiju battle.
This is fun.
Six. What's his initiative? Oh, did I not write down his initiative? Okay, what's his dex? It's four, so that's a 10.
I totally didn't roll a three, guys.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know if you heard what he just said his initiative score is, so... I don't think it would have mattered anyways.
All right. So, top of the turn order is going to be one of the humans with brown hair.
He rolled a 10. Not a...
Oh, he rolled a 10?
Doesn't have a 10 initiative.
My god.
And he's going to start freaking out and be like...
Why did you whisper my name?
What?
Huh?
I said, why did you whisper my name?
Oh, I was going to say something, but I didn't.
Anyways.
What? Zach muted.
I muted?
That mango was so fucking good.
I can't believe I muted myself. It's crazy. I didn't even know. Anyways.
I figured it wasn't on purpose.
Anyways, back to what's going on here. One of the... humans with brown hair, the first one that you guys saw when he was peeking his head around the tree, he looks at the big kaiju battle that's about to happen in front of him, and his eyes are wide. He turns to, he's going to turn to the person closest to him. He's actually going to turn to Graham. He's like, boss, what do we do? You see, he is like in fight or flight mode right now, and Graham kind of like is also in fight or flight mode, and he looks back at Lloyd. Lloyd, what do you think we do?
We get the fuck out of here. That's what we do.
Okay, that's what we'll do. We'll get the fuck out of here. And then we're just going to move he's going to move about 10 feet in front of him. So he's going to start swimming as fast as he can. All right, so let's go to the next turn in the initiative, which is Chorus. Chorus, you see your living nightmare right below you, about 10 feet underwater. The giant spire sword-like swords are emerging from its back. What do you do?
Is it looking at me, or is it looking at the big boy above him?
Roll me a insight check.
Oh, well, fuck. I'm really bad at that. I'm not really bad at it. Just normally bad at it.
17, though. So, as you're kind of, like, trying to make some sense of what's going on here, you look down, and you can see a red eye looking at you, and then you can hear the sound of the cerulean serpent that's been following you guys. You can hear like a as it's about to charge some sort of giant magic beam, and the eye turns from looking at you with just aggressive, like almost bloodthirst, and then it turns its eye to the cerulean serpent, and it knows that it has its priorities right now.
The moment it turns its eye with me, I'm diving in the water. And how deep is water?
You can't even tell. It's that deep.
Oh, fuck. Okay, well, Carter's can't swim, so he sinks to the bottom. He's just trying to sink as quick to the bottom as he can. So.
Okay. Is that going to be your turn?
He's going to he's going to sink to the bottom, and however long it takes me to get to the bottom, and then he's going to walk to shore.
All right, okay. So you're going to sink 10 feet down, so I'm going to put your elevation as minus 10 feet. We're going to call it a turn for you. I'm going to go ahead and skip all the other guys' turns and just have them move. So we're going to go straight to Morris Omenborn. You see Graham and the human, whose name you haven't gotten yet, they're starting to swim towards the lifeboats. They turn, we got to get to the lifeboats, there's two of them, we can all fit on there! You can see the original human turning back and yelling at you guys. Morris, you see this big kaiju fight about to happen, what do you do?
This is very, like, for Moros, this is one of those situations where it's like, he's in awe, because this is massive, and this is kind of the thing that he's built for, a situation like this, but he knows he's not ready for this. This is way beyond his scale of understanding. So, for a moment, he kind of takes in what he's seeing, because this is a, like, once-in-a-lifetime, you're witnessing two colossal, titan-like beings collide, and then as he hears Graham and the other men shouting out to head to the lifeboats, he kind of like shakes his head left and right, snaps back into it, and starts swimming towards the lifeboats with the rest of them. And he'll use his full movement and action to dash. So he goes 30 feet, I guess, in the water instead of 15?
Correct.
Let me rule it out.
Speaking of, the other guys would probably dash on their turn, so I'm going to move them a little further. Yeah, that's about good.
And that is the end of Morris's turn. He's swimming right towards the lifeboats.
All right. Cool beans. All right. Now we can see what's going to happen as the giant cerulean serpent opens its mouth and you see this blue beam of energy shoot out from its mouth and right into Malik. Let's see if this attack hits. Uh-oh. 9 plus 12. Oh, it does! As you see, piercing the skin of the colossal-sized shark, ripping out a chunk of its flesh, is this giant beam of radiant energy. It's gonna deal... ooh, not much, but it is going to... All right, deals a big chunk of damage as you see the flesh of the shark is now singed and there's a big hole where the beam just hit it, and you can hear a... emerge from its voice as it's letting out a thrash of anger. After that, you can see the goblin, one of the goblins is swimming as fast as he can alongside Moros, and it is now going to be Malik's turn. He's actually, before his turn, going to use... actually, he can't do that. Never mind. So, you're going to see Malik swim around towards this side. And you're going to see a red crimson aura begin to feed off of him as you see the giant shark-like maw begin to open up with its rows and rows and rows of sharp teeth covered in blood with bits of flesh stuck in between the teeth. And you can see... as there is now this, like, crimson wave... like a wave of blood in a 60-foot cone in front of you guys. So anybody that's in this 60-foot cone that I'm about to drop here is going to need to make me a dexterity saving throw. Let's see. Luckily, I don't think any of you can get into it. So you guys are okay. Yeah, you guys are good. So it's only going to be the serpent, who is now kind of also swimming in the water as it plops down. And it is going to make a dex save. Ooh, not good dex save. Ooh, yeah, that is a failure. Ooh. 12d8. 12d8. All right. The cerulean serpent is going to take 49 points of necrotic damage, as you can see that the blood is beginning to burn the skin of the serpent as it lets out a... I can't make a fucking loud screech. That's going...
it's gonna let out a...
That's going in the fucking outtakes, brother. Oh my goodness. As it lets out a loud screech... Practice makes perfect voice. It lets out a loud screech. It's going to be its turn, and we're going to skip over to Lloyd.
Oh my god, where are these,
how can you pull up such an amazing performance?
On the other side of the ship over here.
That's where they're at?
Yeah.
Holy crap. So you said if we don't have a swim speed, we can move up to 10 feet.
15, sorry. Difficult terrain.
15. Ah. I'm going to use my telekinetic movement.
Oh.
I'm gonna throw myself 30 feet.
Dude, fuck yeah. As you basically propulse yourself 30 feet forward, that's pretty smart. I like that, Lloyd. Why don't you describe what it looks like for everybody? That's pretty fucking cool.
Yes, sir.
Well, as I see everyone scrambling for the lifeboats, you know, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm all the way the fuck back here. I'm gonna die. So I tap into my psyche to use my psionic capabilities. And I envelop myself, you know, with psionics, and I propel through the water 30 feet forward.
Boom!
Right in front of Moros.
You just launch Moros. You can feel the ocean beginning to, like spray on your face as you turn to the right, and you see Lloyd just propulsing right past you at an ungodly speed. Well, it's not ungodly, but you know what I mean. It's fast. Faster than you can swim.
I turn to Lloyd as he lands, and he comes up to the surface. I look at him, and I go, "Nice of you to join us!" And I keep swimming forward.
And then I'm going to move the 15 feet as well for the rest of my turn.
Alrighty. So, at this point, we're going to get two legendary actions, each from one of the kaiju. First legendary action is going to be from Malik. Malik is going to use one of his legendary actions to make a bite attack against the creature, a creature that is below its hit point maximum, using its Bloodlust ability. So it is going to just do a regular bite attack against the Cerulean Serpent. It's plus 15 hit, a 20 does hit, and that is going to be... It's going to take 36 points of piercing damage, and they're going to have a strength contest. As he's going to latch his jaws down. Uh-oh, this is going to be bad. What's his strength check? Plus 8. Oh, natural 1. Malik is bites so hard into the flesh of the serpent that it's a clean bite. It's not able to grapple it. So, in retaliation, the Cerulean Serpent... Let's see, I'm going to roll a d6 to see if he can do his beam attack again. I rolled it. I'm going to send it to hold myself accountable as you see it open its mouth again with a fury in its eyes. Boom! As it shoots out a straight line. Boom! A big giant beam. Let's run this shit here. Does he resist this damage? I forget. Oh, he does. So you take 22 points of damage. As you can see this, like, radiant breath just kind of shoot straight through Malik. At this point, we're back at the top of the order. Chorus, are you just going to keep slowly sinking down deeper and deeper beneath the surface? You going to even try anything at all?
I'm going to try to propel myself down fast as I can. But can't swim.
Okay, so we're gonna sink you down.
Doing everything he can to just move himself, like he's throwing his arms up to try to push himself down. But
alrighty. So as you keep sinking and sinking and sinking, you are getting deeper, deeper, and deeper. So before this happens, we're gonna have a bit of a complication. Can I have somebody roll me a d6, please? Four. Okay. One moment. Okay. You all see emerging from, as Malik opens his mouth, you see a big ball of red, like, liquid that's, like, centered a point. It's like, how do I describe this? It looks like a ball of water that's just kind of floating in the air. Of red water, and it is going to chuck it in your guys' direction. I'm going to draw the area of effect. Well, it's a circle, but who cares? Anybody within this has to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Awesome. Thing I'm not good at.
Okay, thank you, Jesus.
That is a success.
Not to play devil's advocate, but wouldn't we be at disadvantage because we're in the water?
Yeah! Yeah! I like
fuck you.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
You have to play Dibble's advocate.
Moros, you fail. That is going to be 16 points of acid damage. Oh my. Of acid damage.
How much points?
16.
16.
Oh, I thought you said 60.
No.
Yeah, we were dead. We were fucking. We were literally. We would be juice.
I'd be negative one HP.
As you all see the goblin and the human you guys first laid eyes on when you encountered this group of the web members, you see them swimming, and they look up. They see this giant ball of red water floating above them, and then it bursts. And it rains upon them. They begin to be acid burned to death as their corpses begin to just float, and you can just see chunks of burned flesh and bone floating on the surface. They are dead.
Oh.
one second. I have their names written down somewhere.
We don't know them.
Well, someone does. Someone might be screaming out their name.
Jimmy and Timmy.
Garb! Messier! You see Graham scream. Fuck! We're gonna die! Get to the ship! Get to the ship! He screams as he starts swimming forward. Moros Omenborn, it is your turn.
As soon as the acid splash bloodbath comes down and kind of just sprays, sprinkles, whatever you want to call it, all over us and, you know, liquefies the men before us, you hear Moros go, oh! And then he just keeps kind of swimming. He's, you know, covered in pain and just kind of swims around it. He's swimming in the muck of the liquefied corpses. Oh, this is disgusting. Oh, oh! And he just keeps swimming through it as fast as he can, but he's just going to dash forward.
All right, go ahead and move your 30 feet forward.
Right there. Yeah, right through the muck.
All right. That's going to be your
turn.
Where
are the
lifeboats? Do you see the, like, broken boat on the map up here?
Oh, goodness. Okay.
That's where the boats are.
Oh! Oh! You hear Moros say it again. He's looking for lifeboats. He sees it. Oh!
Alright. We're going to do some more legendary actions, boys. Both of the creatures are going to take legendary actions. The giant cerulean serpent is going to make a bite attack against Malik, rolling a 20, which will hit, dealing 19 plus 12. So 12 points of radiant damage and 19 points of piercing damage. Okay. That is going to be its legendary action, and then Malik is going to use a legendary action of his own. Malik. What's he going to do? Chorus, do me a favor. Roll me a stealth check.
Hmm. Okay. Not too bad.
He's going to use his legendary
action. That's a natural
20. Ooh, he's trying to use... You see him, but he doesn't see you because he's a little too preoccupied with his combat. His vision's obscured by pieces of the wreckage of the ship, and dealing with this, it's a little too chaotic for him to keep up. You can tell he's looking for you, and he can't find you. You're trying to hide under the water and trying to sink as deep as you can, but he can't seem to find you. So that's going to be his legendary action. But now it's the Cerulean Serpent's turn. And it is going to, on its turn... Ooh. He's going to try to constrict Malik. A 19 misses. As you see it try to wrap around Malik, but Malik begins to thrash out and throw him off. He's not able to secure the grapple in. That is going to be his turn. Next up is Malik's turn. Malik, after thrashing out, What is he gonna do? Oh, we try this again. We gotta try this again. D6. A 1. So he's not gonna be able to use his Crimson Wave. He's going to use a multi-attack. He's going to do a bite attack and 2 tail slash attacks. More like a spire slash, because it's gonna use one of the spires to, like, thrash over it, the serpent. Let's see. First attack. Oh, yeah, that hits. Second attack and 3rd attack. 16. 15. Oh, yeah, all 3 hit. 50. Plus 36. And then a strength contest. It's a lot of damage. That's a lot of fucking damage. So you can see that Malik has unleashed a fury of attacks upon this creature, and you can see that the Cerulean Serpent that's been following you guys is in a fucking world of trouble. Well, if this continues to happen and Malik keeps hitting these attacks successfully, it's not going to end well for him, and it's not going to end well for you guys either. They are going to do a strength versus strength. We're going to see how this works. Got to be a 24. Malik is not able to grapple with his bite attack as he bites clean through yet again, unable to find footing in his grapple. Everyone's just swimming forward. You can see the other goblin, brother, and he starts crying and he's like swimming as fast as he can. Absolutely in tears. Lloyd, it is your turn.
All right. You know, things are pretty hectic. Waves are crashing into us. Blood everywhere. The whole sea's blood. I'm gonna propel myself once more. I'm gonna try to squeeze every bit of my mind to get me there as fast as possible. I am going to use my telekinetic movement once again.
As yet again, doom, as you propel yourself forward 30 feet. And then I'm assuming you're going to swim the other 15 feet, right? So you get 45. Oh, shit. I may have grabbed your token by accident while I was trying to measure. Right. Yeah, but that's about right. That's about fight. Fight. About right.
I'm going to get right here. Fuck.
Dude, you're so close to the action. You've got... Literally, next turn, you could get to one of the lifeboats. If you can use your telekinetic movement again. I'm not sure if you're able to.
I'm going to use my action surge. And well, I am going to get there. I'm going to get right here, and I'm going to move the rest of the 15. I get my movement back in action surge, or is it just the action?
I think it's just the action. So I think you'll be like you'll be 15 feet short. So you could just swim on your next turn and you'll be able to get on the lifeboat.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. Is that your turn, my friend?
I'm going to look back as I'm nearing the lifeboat. I can see it within, you know, within an arm's distance to me. You know, my perception is not too great in, you know, with blood in my fucking eyes. And I look back and I see the 2 towering giants battling it out. Every attack causing shockwaves. And I, for the second time in my life, am truly terrified.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. All right. So, Lloyd rolled me the D6 for the complication last time. Could someone else roll me a D6, please?
I will allow Cobras to do so.
Oh, great. Yeah, just my luck. That's awesome.
Just let me roll for my doom, guys.
Awesome, a 6. Cool. I've killed us all.
You can see that in retaliation of taking some damage from the serpent, the shark opens its mouth, and you see 4 doom, 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 doom balls, like of blood, begin to emerge from its mouth. And these balls, as they hit the water, they take the form of a shark. Four giant sharks have been summoned. We'll do reef sharks instead. So you see four reef sharks around Malik, and Chorus, you would can feel this telekinetic message. You don't hear words, but you feel emotions. You feel that he is telling them to kill the small ones. You can tell that they're going to go after your comrades and the strangers you just met. So I'm going to add them. They're going to have one thing. They're going to share initiative. And it's actually their turn. So they are going to dash, all of them, towards you guys. These ones can't get as far, but that's going to be their turn. Graham, seeing this in action, is going to swim 30 feet, dashing, trying to avoid the sharks. So now it's Moros Omenborn's turn. Moros, you see a water shape of a shark coming towards you. What do you do?
How far away is it?
It's within reach if you wanted to hit it with an attack.
Yeah, violent tendencies are increased in these times.
Yes, so they are.
I'm going to go with the roleplay here, and Moros is going to... Let's see here. Does this creature count as a fae or a fiend?
No, it is a beast.
It is a beast. Very well. Okay. I'm going to pull out my greatsword, or if in this case a javelin, whichever you think I'd be able to pull out. If you don't care, then
I do not care
either. I'm going to take out the greatsword, and I'm going to use both actions to swing into the creature with my greatsword. And if either hit, I will Divine Smite.
Cool. Go ahead and roll me your
attacks.
So
here's the first one. 14?
Hold on, 14 hits.
12.
12 just hits.
Okay. So... 13 damage.
Something so funny right now.
13 damage. Here's the Divine Smite to go with that one. 9.
That's enough to kill it. It's enough to just completely... You see that the shape and form of the shark just vanishes as you Divine Smite. As this radiant energy boom, causes it to pop.
As soon as that happens, I'm going to, I guess... Use the great sword, or put the great sword back. I don't know if I was going to use it as a rowing mechanism, but I'm not on a boat. I'm not, at least yet. And I'm going to continue moving 15 feet towards whoever this person is.
That would be Graham. There.
All right, towards Graham, 15 feet. Let me. Oh, I can actually get right next to him. Okay. All right. That is the end of Moros' turn. After killing the beast, he just keeps on swimming through the ocean of blood before him.
Cool beans. All right, we're going to get to do some legendary actions. Malik is going to use his legendary action to yet again do a perception check. Chorus, could you do me a solid, my friend, and roll me another stealth check?
No. Oh, God.
Oh, he rolled better this time.
Oh, he rolled much lower.
You see its eyes are darting chaotically, and then you see it. He's locked eyes with you. He's coming for you. That's all he can do for his legendary action, though. However, while Malik is distracted, the Cerulean Serpent is going to try to use his action to hit Malik with his tail attack. I'm gonna roll. Just hits with a 20. Rolling. Not gonna say how many points of damage. Ooh, and he's gotta succeed on a strength save as the serpent thrashes at Malik with his tail. And Malik needs to make a strength save, which is like plus 15 or some shit like that. Yeah, plus 15. 20. Ooh, a 20 is just successful. Just successful. Able to resist that. All right. Malik does have two more legendary actions, and he's going to use his legendary action to go underwater and use his... He has a legendary action called Blood Surge, where he can move up to its swim speed without provoking opportunity attacks, and he's swimming towards Chorus as he swims 20 feet underwater and towards Chorus. That is going to be... That's all he can do. Actually... I don't think he just went. Technically, it's his turn. He just used a legendary action. Okay. Chorus.
No. No. Nope.
Let me see. What is he going to do? What is he going to do? Oh. He's going to play
simply
with
no.
you. He's going to play with you. He's going to use his multi-attack. He's going to make three attacks. He's going to try to bite you and then do two tail slashes on you. First attack. Oh, that definitely hits. You're going to take...
I'm dead.
36 points of
I'm
piercing
dead.
Damage.
Cool. This is going to be the end of me.
And then two bite attack. Oh, my goodness. You're going to take 50 points of slashing damage.
Oh, cool. I'm in negative HP right now.
So, technically, you are incapacitated and unconscious. All right. I'm going to have
everyone... You said there were more attacks coming my way. You've already declared them.
Yeah, there's one more.
Not to play devil's advocate, but...
No, because this severely matters. This severely matters. Because right now, he's already done... 86 points of damage. One more hit. Anything above a 12 is over double my health. I instantly die. So swing, bitch. Let's see how this ends.
Just misses.
Well, good.
That doesn't change the fact you're incapacitated.
You're still fucked, though.
You guys are still fucked either way, but he's still incapacitated. Which means...
You're fucked less. You're fucked slightly less. That's all.
Wait, that means he's going to go to swim to the surface and start killing every one of us that are here.
He can't swim.
Yeah, Chorus is on a rampage, right?
The fucking demon that controls him at this point probably can.
Chorus is on a rampage. Well, no, because at this point, it's just Chorus on a rampage. He's just rampaging. It's just...
Oh, so we've got a day or two before he makes landfall.
If that one had hit, it would have been the demon.
The god would have
gotten his body, so you know you would have had to, you know.
This is fucking nuts. This is fucking nuts.
Deal with an avatar, so yeah, that's fun.
All right, Lloyd, it is your turn. You can swim towards the boat. Are you going to do that? Obviously.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah, 100%.
Once you get on board, do me a favor. Roll me an Arcana check.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, you know. No.
You roll with advantage. I'm sorry, I should have led with that. You have, there's a reason why.
I did not help.
This was a DC 10 check for you because it's easier for you than it is for anybody else. This is clearly, this boat is imbued with Arcana tech, and you can tell that this boat has a small little arcane engine on the back of it, and if you were to turn it on and turn this handle, you could use it as like it's a propulsion system basically to make this like a speedboat in a way, which can move 50 feet per turn.
50 feet per turn. Is that thing in the water?
It is 20 feet under, so you could swim right over, or boat right over it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring that thing all the way over here.
As you see this boat roaring towards you, towards you all. Now, it can only fit four more people on this boat, so I would recommend you pick them up, you pick some of them up, take them back to the other boat, get your guys, and go. That plan is probably already in your mind, though, but that seems to be the best course of action for now. Lloyd, is there anything else you want to do on your turn?
There's only four people.
Well, lucky... Oh, wait! Oh, because those two died! Oh! Like this. Okay.
But... You'll see my plan in a minute here.
Okay. Chorus. What's going on? Why don't you describe what's going on as you're 20 feet, now 30, sinking deeper and deeper and deeper.
I mean, Chorus is... It's basically just the sunken place from Get Out. He retracts in, and it's like he's watching a fucking TV screen. That's all he can do.
All right. You can see Graham says, "We gotta go! We gotta go! Lloyd, punch it!" I'm Lloyd. Because Graham can take over, I would, like, theoretically, I would let you move 50 feet if you guys wanted to try to get away.
Am I going to bring my comrades with me?
Your comrades are on the boat. I'm assuming you already helped them onto the boat. Just skip all the bullshit. You've already helped them all onto the boat.
All right.
Do you leave Chorus behind? Or do you get your buddy?
You know what? I have no idea. I don't know where he's at.
Yeah, nobody saw Chorus dive into the water. They were all too far away at that time.
Do you stay behind to look, or do you run for the Aflar Eden Isles?
I do not see him.
Where's Chorus? You hear Moro shout.
I don't know.
Did anybody see him fall in?
No, I didn't. I didn't either. The big guy with the glowing red sword finally speaks for the first time.
Moro steps up to, like, the front of the lifeboat and shouts out, like, in all directions, "Chorus! Chorus! Damn! Damn! Damn!" You hear Moro scream and see... seems unable to do anything. He just frustratingly just falls within himself in the moment. "We can't leave him here," he says as he turns his head back towards Lloyd. "What do we do?"
I look towards Graham. I look towards Chorus.
Morris.
Fuck you guys for going with Morris.
You want to play him? It would have to. To be fair, Chorus is four Morris.
I'm sorry, you.
Okay, so I'm going to look at you. You see my eyes. They filled with, like, worry. You don't even need an insight check. My eyes are, like, blatantly telling you how I'm feeling. You can see the terror in my eyes. You can see the confusion, of the unknown. And I'm gonna look towards Graham. Graham!
What?
You and your men take the other lifeboat. Leave us with this. We have to look for Chorus.
I can't leave you to die out here, Lloyd.
This wouldn't be the first time I've been on death's door. And here I am again. Go, wait for me. If we don't make it, say in a week, I'm dead.
Roll me a persuasion check.
Not bad.
He looks at you deep into your eyes for a moment. You can see his starting to tear up a little bit. You better get back damn safe, you idiot. And he kind of like lightly punches your shoulder. And you can see him turn around begrudgingly. Take us to the other boat.
Alright, we drive to the other boat.
You drop them off?
Yeah, drop them off.
As they board the other boat and they start riding towards the northeast, you can see the kaijus while this is all going on. Malik turns his focus back to the serpent, oddly enough, not going after Chorus anymore, and they just kind of duke it out just to kind of skip all the fluff and shit. What are you guys going to do to try to find Chorus in this moment as the two kaiju are interlocked in a battle of beams, tail whips, fucking...
Oh my god.
What do you do?
I know what's that.
Moros is going to use Divine Sense. How far down beneath the water is Chorus?
30 feet.
I can sense him.
And you...
I can sense up to 60 feet.
Not only is that the only thing that you can ping with your senses, but a sense of dread fills over you as this is probably the biggest fiend you have ever felt the presence of in your life. Clearly, it's Malik the Redwater. But still, terrifying nonetheless to see a fiend of this size.
At first, I look over at Malik, because he's... I would assume it's like a sense. I would feel this emanating aura from the
it's
side.
It's like the
almost
sun.
It's almost this. It's annoyingly present. I can't help but notice it. And as I see this presence and I feel the, I would say, what's the word I'm looking for? The sheer colossal size, the sheer eminence that it, the power that it emanates. And then I feel something very similar. Of the same nature, the 30 feet down beneath the boat. And I look down, and I feel the same evil that I feel for Malik. And in that moment, can Moros make an insight check to know if that's Chorus or Chorus when he's not in control?
Roll me an insight check.
Because he knows if he goes unconscious at any point, he does know this because it's happened before, but that could be what's going on. So insight check. Fucking one.
You have no idea.
I turn to Lloyd. And I immediately, like, I grab his, I reach out and grab him by the shoulder. I go, and I pull him down over towards me, and I point down in the water where he's at, and I say, down there. That Chorus is down there. He's in the water.
Is he fine?
I can't tell, but is he? He's sinking.
Shit. All right. Morals. For story purposes.
Oh, okay.
Zach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to expend every single one of my slots for everything, and I'm going to pull Chorus.
Oh, fuck me! Fuck me!
Oh no!
There's an anchor on the boat that you could feed down, and it goes about 40 feet.
Yeah, but who knows?
Well, he's...
How am I supposed to catch him? I can't see him. I'm going to try to feel for him with my psionics. That's why I'm expending everything.
Oh.
He's using his telekinetic shit.
Oh, so are you going to swim down there with him?
No, I'm going to pull him up with my telekinetic movement.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Chorus swims to the surface right next to your guys' boat. Well, doesn't swim. He's propulsed up.
Yeah, I'm pulling him. through the blood because it's like blocking me.
I will allow, as he breaches the surface, for you both to make an insight check as you all lock eyes with Chorus. As he, it's slow for you to like get him up because it takes so much concentration and focus. And Chorus, like, as he emerges from the water, the red water kind of dripping off of his presence as he emerges. Chorus, there is something ominous about all this. As you see Chorus raise from the red water, you see a bloodlust in his eyes. And a crimson bull is out to play.
Can I take this moment to do something real quick?
What would that be?
Grab the anchor and drop it on him. Send him back down.
When I pull Chorus up, I notice the change, I look defeated.
You punched my mic.
I expended everything hoping for that little sliver to bring him back. And then I can feel the pain coursing through my body from expending everything. My nose starts to bleed, my eyes start to bleed, and I slump down, and I fall unconscious, with the last thing of me seeing is Chorus as this monster.
Shit. Moros panicking at this point. Shit. And he grabs the anchor as fast as he can, and he just tosses it right onto Chorus and tries to sink him back down to the bottom as fast as fucking possible.
Right. You just fucking yelled hot potato at him, threw it in the cottage.
Alright, so how this is going to work, it's going to be an improvised weapon attack, but it's not going to be damage, it's going to be probably a little more cinematic. If that's okay with you guys.
Not to play devil's advocate, but only if I get advantage.
He's technically like... he's just going to sink, so I don't see why not. Go ahead, roll with advantage. That's cool with me. By the way, he's technically full health right now.
Oh! Yeah.
Is it unarmed strike?
It'd be an improvised weapon.
I don't know what improvised weapon would be.
It's plus your strength, so it's the same thing.
Okay. That probably doesn't hit.
You miss, but he can't swim anyway.
That's what you think. Oh!
He just immediately sinks back down.
Shit.
Clearly in a fucking fit of rage and bloodlust.
I'm watching him as he thrashes, as he sinks. He's like reaching out to get us, and I immediately start reaching out for the anchor and start disconnecting it from the fucking boat. I take the greatsword and I slam it down on the chain to fucking sever it. Ugh. Well, that was close, Lloyd. Wasn't it? Lloyd? He looks over.
Giant demon shark still behind you.
Shit! Lloyd! And he kind of pulls Lloyd towards him, and then he reaches. He doesn't know how to fucking drive this boat! Moros looks at the contraption. Lloyd! And he's like shaking him. Lloyd! I don't have to drive this thing! Lloyd! And he's looking up at the shark as it's getting a little closer. Lloyd! He looks down. It's getting closer. He looks down. It's getting closer. And he just kind of revs the engine and just starts pulling and away.
My eye opens, but right now it's their bloodshot red, and I'm looking up. I can't hear you.
I'm shaking you. You see me screaming. Mouthing, Lloyd! Help!
And with the last bit of my consciousness, I just slam my hand on the contraption and make it shoot off.
As you all shoot towards the Isles of Eden Eflar without Chorus. Chorus, in a fit of rage and bloodlust, sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the depths. You can see that the fight between the kaiju, as you guys get some distance between themselves, begins to dissipate as you can see Malik begin to do what appears to be a tactical retreat. And doesn't swim towards where you guys saw Chorus. You can feel it, a tingle in your mind again, but this tingle feels different. There seems to be aggression behind it. and you can just sense pleasure. But the serpent, bloodied, battered, and bruised, and Malik, they go their separate ways as you all make for the Isles of Eden and Floar. And that is all for tonight's session. I want to thank everybody who tuned into this episode of the Forge D20 podcast. I really just want you guys to know that I love and appreciate each of you who take the time to listen. Y'all are literally one of the major reasons that I keep moving forward, because recently life ain't been the easiest. And I'm trying my damnedest to be the best man I can possibly be. And you know what? That's all I can do. That's all some of us can do. But I'm super grateful that I'm able to do this with my friends, one of my greatest support systems. Times are never easy, but hard times make strong men. And I certainly fucking believe that. I want to give a special shout out to all of our patrons, Melanie Droz, Melanie Kochi Alone, Anakin Gross. I appreciate you guys for being patrons to the Forge D20 podcast. That's all for this episode. See you guys next time.